Hey, my clever friend, are you ready for a new dose of knowledge?
Hey, of course I'm ready. But I'm not a kid, so don't call me my young friend.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. Anyway, let's move on to our topics. First of all, we'll discuss the story about Marquez's novel, which, by the way, the writer asked to be destroyed, but it was still published.
Wow, that sounds intriguing. What else have we got?
Your turn to talk about the next topic, mate.
Secondly, let's talk about Germany's politics towards Ukraine and try to figure out the reasons behind the behavior of the new German Chancellor Olaf Scholz.
Interesting. Anything else up your sleeve?
Yeah, thirdly, let's delve into the complex situation between Israel, Hamas, and Hezbollah, as well as the upcoming presidential elections in the Russian Federation.
Wow, that sounds like a real political thriller. Well, let's get started. You know what reminds me of spring and love? The music of Anne and May Conterite. Let me tell you, I was preparing an episode to their song, Ausgehen, recorded live in Cologne. This song is just filled with the feeling of spring and romance, as if it's meant to awaken warm emotions in the heart. I dream of going to their concert. If you also love Anne and May Conterite and find out about their tour before I do, you have to let me know, okay? Have you ever wondered why classic rom-coms are so appealing to viewers, especially young people? I recently watched one called Anyone But You.
Oh, I've heard about it. That's the comedy that came out on the screens on the 26th of December last year, right?
Absolutely. Even though it's a pretty mediocre romantic comedy with a budget of $20 million, it made 10 times its budget.
Wow, that's $207 million. And all this without special effects and exotic locations, but why is it so popular?
You know what? I've been thinking. The movie's Rotten Tomatoes rating is only 54%. But you know who's crazy about this film? Zoomers.
Zoomers? So, you mean Generation Z? But Hollywood has never really considered them as the audience for romantic comedies before.
You know what? It seems like the time has come. It looks like the Zoomers are craving a new golden age of rom-coms and eagerly anticipating the next Notting Hill.
I wonder why the return of romantic comedies seems quite predictable in our cultural context, don't you think?
Well, firstly, rom-coms are light and comforting films with a happy ending. They lift your spirits and inspire. Secondly, they offer an idealized view of love and relationships, which is a form of escapism from harsh reality.
And it's also interesting to see how classic plots unfold in the modern world, isn't it?
You know what, mate? Enough with the Marvel superheroes, seriously. Give me a rom-com where everyone's beautiful, authentic, sassy, and wickedly witty, and where love is inevitable and unstoppable.
And to walk out of the cinema after such a film and feel little wings behind your back and your eyes shining in anticipation of spring.
Exactly. What's wrong with that? I think it's perfectly suitable for the dark times we're living in right now. So, mate, are you ready to hear about the new novel by Gabriel Garcia Marquez? Did you know that he asked for this novel to be destroyed?
Yeah, I've heard about that. But his kids thought he had dementia and didn't understand what he was saying, so they decided to publish it. But, mate, don't think it's okay. It's not always worth ignoring the requests of your elders.
Ha ha, spot on. But you know what's interesting? In this novel, for the first time, the main character is a woman. Isn't that right, mate?
Wow, that's really interesting. So, if I understand correctly, the story is about the secret life of a married and perfectly happy woman who decided to explore her sexuality and freedom. Isn't that right, mate?
Yeah, it's almost a feminist novel and very much in tune with the times. And I really like the title. See you in August. I can't wait to read it. Are you ready for such topics, mate?
Sounds very interesting. I also want to read that novel. But mate, remember, it's important to respect other people's boundaries and always ask for consent.
You know, mate, I find it fascinating how Marquez's exploration of the heroine's sexuality and freedom can be reflected in a political context. Speaking of freedom, I can't help but notice the complex situation in Ukraine. What do you reckon about the latest news from there, mate?
Oh, you know, I'm no baby. But yeah, I've heard about Politico's take on why German Chancellor Olaf Scholz is acting seemingly inconsistently. On one hand, he criticizes countries that aren't doing enough to help Ukraine. On the other hand, he refuses to supply Kyiv with cruise missiles that could destroy the Kerch Bridge or even reach Moscow.
Yeah, and the article mentions at least two reasons for such behavior. Scholz has a deep-rooted fear of Russia. He wants to be a chancellor of peace, not war. The publication speculates that Scholz's ultimate goal is to achieve peaceful negotiations as soon as possible. He often repeats, Russia should not win and Ukraine should not lose. He doesn't say, Russia should lose and Ukraine should win. But you know, this reminds me of a joke. Why don't politicians ever play chess? Because they're afraid the journalists will attack the pawns.
You know, it's interesting that despite Scholz being one of the most unpopular chancellors in German history, his policy towards Ukraine is gaining significant support among the population. They write that ever since Olaf saw that Ukraine can defend itself against Russia, he, along with Washington, started providing it with weapons for survival, but holding back the weapons that could bring victory.
Yeah, even the Leopard tanks were delivered with a significant delay, which ultimately allowed Russia to heavily mine the front line and deprive Ukraine of the initiative. According to Scholz, if Ukraine uses German missiles on Russian territory, the Kremlin could interpret it as direct involvement, and Germany would be dragged into the war. But you know, this reminds me of a joke. Why don't politicians ever play chess? Because they're afraid the journalists will attack the pawns.
Meanwhile, Ursula von der Leyen has been nominated for a second term as the president of the European Commission. And if you listen to her speech, you can understand why Olaf Scholz doesn't want her to become the head of NATO. And in general, Putin sacrificed the country to save himself. Putin is being pursued for war crimes. He will be punished, and he awaits a tribunal in The Hague, my friends. There can be no doubt that Europe will support Ukraine as much as needed, financially and militarily. Russia has destroyed homes, hospitals, kindergartens, but it cannot destroy the dream of a free and prosperous Ukraine.
And here's another piece of news. Yesterday, Sweden officially became a member of NATO. At the same time, Volodymyr Zelensky approved Valery Zaluzhny as Ukraine's ambassador to the United Kingdom. And by the way, did you know that Sweden became the 30th member of NATO? I don't know why, but that number always reminds me of a birthday. Maybe because it's the last day of the month and I always leave buying gifts until the last moment. Switching from European politics to the Middle East, let's discuss the situation between Israel and Hamas. Have you heard about the recent developments there?
Yeah, mate. I heard that Ramadan starts on Sunday. Israel offered Hamas a 40-day ceasefire in exchange for the return of all hostages. But Hamas didn't accept the offer.
Wow, that's incredible. And what do they want in return?
They want a complete ceasefire, the withdrawal of Israeli troops from the sector, the return of displaced residents to their homes in the north, and ensuring the population has the essentials.
You know what, mate? What other news do we have from that region?
Meanwhile, the Lebanese terrorist group Hezbollah continues to shell the border areas in the north of Israel. They're threatening that if Israel continues its military operation in the Gaza sector, the conflict will escalate.
Blimey, that sounds serious. How's Israel responding to that then?
Israel's response to Hezbollah is clear. If you continue shelling us, we'll hit back for real.
And what happens next, mate?
You know what, mate? I've heard that on the 10th of March, there will be negotiations between Lebanon and Israel about the withdrawal of non-state armed forces from the south of Lebanon and the deployment of 15,000 Lebanese troops there.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, keep me in the loop, my big expert on world events.
I'm no spring chicken, mate. And I'm not a political expert. I just love staying in the loop with world events.
All right, my big expert on world events. Switching from the Middle East to political events in Russia, let's discuss the upcoming presidential elections. Next week, from the 15th to the 17th of March, the presidential elections will take place in Russia. Nothing extraordinary is expected, but the opposition is calling on Kremlin opponents to come to the polling stations to vote on Sunday, the 17th of March, exactly at noon.
Oh, that's interesting. So it turns out that the campaign is actually called Noon Against Putin.
Absolutely, my young friend. If they ask you why you came exactly at noon, just say it's Sunday. You woke up, lazed around, washed up, had breakfast, read a book, and just around noon, you got ready to do your civic duty.
Got it. So, it's like that joke about the voter who went to the polling station because they were giving out free pastries.
Absolutely, mate. It's all part of the big political game. All right, my young genius, have you ever heard of the Orange Alternative?
Orange Alternative? Sounds like the name of a rock band, doesn't it?
Haha. Well, in a way, it was a group, but not a musical one. It was an artistic political movement that emerged in Wrocław in the 1980s. They organized anti-communist events, using absurdity and surrealism as weapons against the regime.
Blimey, that sounds pretty cool. And what were they up to then?
They organized events that were the complete opposite of the seriousness and strictness of the communist regime. One of their most famous events was called Exactly at Noon. During this event, they handed out free oranges and called on people to engage in peaceful protest.
Exactly at noon? That sounds like the title of a movie, doesn't it?
You know what, mate? It's possible that their activities inspired Alexei Navalny, who proposed noon against Putin. It's really interesting how one movement can inspire another. It's like a domino effect, but in politics.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I wonder what's next.
Only time will tell. But one thing we know for sure, history is full of examples of how the ideas and actions of one movement inspire others. And that's really beautiful. All right, mate, have you heard the latest news about Nikki Haley and Donald Trump?
Oh, yeah. I heard that Nikki Haley, Trump's only rival for the Republican Party nomination, dropped out of the race. It happened because on the recent Super Tuesday, Trump won in 14 out of 15 states that were voting that day.
Wow, you're really on the ball. So, what do you think this means? Are we in for a déjà vu?
Probably. In November, it's likely that Biden and Trump will be battling it out for the White House again.
Exactly. Like in the good old days. But you know what's the most interesting part of this story? We've all seen this before. History repeats itself, and it's just amazing. But let's not get ahead of ourselves and see what November brings us. After all, in politics, everything can change in the blink of an eye, right? You know, mate, politics is nothing but a waiting game. But speaking of waiting, have you heard the latest forecasts about Denmark's GDP and how the company Novo Nordisk is impacting the country's economy?
Yeah, I've heard. The largest Danish bank, Danske Bank, predicts that Denmark's GDP will grow by 2.1% in 2024. And it's all thanks to Novo Nordisk. They produce the diabetes drug Ozempic and the weight loss medication Wegovy. Interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting. And you know what else? Last year, Novo Nordisk surpassed the luxury conglomerate LVMH, you know, the ones that make Moët Hennessy and Louis Vuitton, and became the most valuable company in Europe. Who knows what's next, my young economist?
I'm not a kid, but yeah, that's really impressive. I wonder what other surprises the future holds for us. And by the way, don't forget, I can be ironic too. After all, it's not just Moët Hennessy and Louis Vuitton that make life brighter, but diabetes medications too.
You know, my young friend, it's not just luxury that brightens up our lives. Speaking of what makes our lives better, have you heard about the company Overjet?
Overjet? That's the company developing an AI platform for dentists, right? Oh yeah, I've heard of them. They secured $53 million in investments, didn't they?
You know what, mate? Overjet can help dentists with diagnosing diseases, providing care recommendations, and managing their dental practices. Can you imagine how cool that is?
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. But how do they do it? I mean, they're just a computer program, right?
Haha, you're always so curious. Actually, the AI platform learns from millions of cases. It's interesting, where do they get all this data from, eh?
Very interesting. So, do all these data get verified by clinical specialists then?
Absolutely. So if you ever decide to become a dentist, you know where to turn for help. And remember, my clever friend, not all jokes come right away. Some take time. Bye. Well, my young scientist, ready to switch from artificial intelligence to space exploration? Because I've got some fresh news for you. On the 5th of March, the SpaceX Dragon Endeavour spacecraft successfully docked with the International Space Station. 4 more crew members joined the existing 7, including 3 American astronauts and 1 Russian.
Wow, that sounds exciting. I wonder what they'll be up to up there.
They'll be staying at the space station for 6 months and will conduct 200 scientific experiments. Among them, they'll try to grow artificial human organs in low-gravity conditions.
Wow, that sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. But you know what's interesting? Space is one of the few areas where the US and Russia continue to work closely together, don't they?
Absolutely, my clever friend. And it's truly amazing and inspiring. By the way, there's a video of the ISS crew welcoming the newcomers. Unfortunately, we can't show it here.
Too bad, but thanks for the interesting information anyway. By the way, did you know that astronauts call their spacesuits penguins? Because they waddle around in them just like penguins.
You know, I've always been curious about how penguins walk in space.
Are you serious? Penguins in space? Is this some kind of new theory?
No, mate, it's just a metaphor. But speaking of penguins and their walk, it smoothly leads us to Ryan Gosling.
Oh, Ryan Gosling. I heard he's supposed to perform at the Oscars ceremony on Sunday, is that true?
Yeah, that's right. And he'll be performing the song, I'm Just Ken.
Wow, that sounds interesting. I've always loved his movies, and now he's singing too. But why I'm just Ken specifically?
Well, that's because of his role in the movie Barbie. You know, he plays Ken, right?
Oh, that explains a lot. I thought it was just a random choice of song. But now it all makes sense.
You know what, mate? I think today is a great day to finally watch the movie Barbie. But moving on to more serious matters, if you could choose any country to go to right now and live there for 3 months, which country would you choose?
Wow, that's a tough question. Are you talking about going alone or with someone? Where would I live? Would I have to move all my stuff? What about the legal stuff? Healthcare? Schools?
Oh, you ask so many questions. I know this is off topic, but the idea of going to another country for 3 months is on my mind right now. It's not that complicated. I know I've moved before, but I couldn't answer your question. Although, I've been thinking that it would be nice to live in the future Belarus for a few months.
I'd head to Turkey, to a hotel with a water park, with my grandma.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. But, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you started supporting my ideas and helping me bring them to life. Thanks, mate. Well, I think we've thoroughly discussed our travel dreams. And now, speaking of travel, I want to tell you a story that my doctor told me yesterday.
Oh, that sounds interesting. What did he say?
Well, first of all, he said that I have a healthy back. The intervertebral discs, there they are. Absolutely fine. So fortunately, that's not the issue.
That's great, so you can keep on traveling without any problems.
Yeah, but you know what else he said? He said, you're a mom, you've got a kid, you're working, and your job involves stress, plus all the household chores. I totally get it. But it seems like you've forgotten about yourself.
Wow, that sounds serious. Have you really forgotten about yourself?
Seems like it. It was such an OMG so true moment. I really forgot about myself in all my travels, work, and taking care of my daughter.
But you always say that it's important to take care of yourself.
Yeah, and I always try to do that. But sometimes when you're busy with everything else, you just forget about yourself. And it was such an oatcake moment when I realized that all my recent adventures were solely because I remembered myself.
Well, at least you remembered yourself. That's already good.
Yeah, and I want all my listeners to also remember to take care of themselves. After all, we all deserve to look after ourselves, don't we?
Absolutely spot on.